You're called to lead a nation, but your foundation as a leader has to be firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
We have a huge, huge heart for seeing leaders raised up and going into every realm of society.
People don't follow leaders who have it all together. They follow leaders who are real.
As a leader, when you think of servanthood, it's not something you grow out of. It's something that hopefully you would grow in.
If leadership is influence, everybody has influence. What are you doing with the influence you currently have?
As a leader, you're more anointed and more equipped to do what you're called to do when you are just being yourself.
At the end of my life, I don't want to look back and think, I didn't really do anything that required faith.
Circumstances don't make or break you, they reveal you.
You can bear fruit on roots that aren't very deep, but it's not gonna last.
You are not called to lead a nation based on your feelings. You're called to lead a nation where Jesus says to go.
This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
All right, well, welcome back once again to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. I say welcome back because every month we put it all together. So if you're listening to this right now but haven't heard the first part, haven't heard the interviews, go back, listen to those. Just go get them for the month. And we're glad that you're here.
This is Trace.
Trace. This is the Leadership Podcast where we want to come alongside leaders both in church, campus, and culture, encourage you, strengthen, equip, and really just build community through podcast land as much as we can. We're glad that you're here. We are joined by my friend Dean DeGuara.
DD,
who to is the Director of Leadership Development Resources at Jesus Culture. Zach Curry, who is the church team leader, which got to come up with a new title. And Becky, who is the Communications Director for the church, the youth pastor for the church, the self-proclaimed president of the podcast.
Right.
And just an all-around big fan of my preaching.
Nice. I like how you
She's
threw that the in
president
there.
President of the fan club, too.
Would you agree with that?
Would yeah.
You, yeah, you better agree with that sitting across the table from
totally,
me.
You're my favorite preacher.
We are.
That's why she asked us for quotes on Sundays.
Yeah, totally, all the time. All the time. Well, listen, we just got done with Valentine's Day, which I don't know if you guys are. Are you guys big Valentine's Day people?
Nope.
Becky, are you not big? Why aren't you big Valentine's Day?
It's pointless. It's a Hallmark holiday. Save your money. Put your kid to college. Don't waste money on chocolate and flowers.
What?
Wow.
Give love a chance.
What else do you think about like
Who
that?
Who hurt you?
You're the kid that's like, why buy them presents when they're one? They'll never remember it.
We did not buy Lucy any presents for her first two Christmases.
Why?
Because she doesn't remember it. It's a waste of money. I'm practical.
Wow.
I'm practical. Wow. We did it.
This is surprising.
Not even an ornament?
Nope.
My first Christmas?
Nope. My mom bought us one because I wasn't going to spend money on that. So first Christmas,
Do you
she
not
was,
talk to her either
she
because
was,
she won't remember you talking to
she
her?
She was
do,
4 months
you,
old.
Do you not talk to her because she won't remember
first
you talking to her?
First Christmas, she was 4 months old. Second Christmas, she was a year and something. I think we got her one gift. And then this Christmas, we bought her some books, but we spent like $50.
She won't remember this Christmas either, do you realize?
I know. I'm saying like we bought her a little bit, but I just let other people do
I can't even. We can't even put this on the podcast. That's unbelievable.
No,
it's surprising as the captain of Christmas cheer.
Why dress her up?
Why?
She won't remember it.
It's for other people. Clothes are a societal
That's
requirement.
That's hilarious. I've just kind of given up on Valentine's Day because Valentine's Day has been hijacked by my kids. My yes. wife sets up an entire morning. My kids wake up on Valentine's Day to presents.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, wow. CJ, you realize this is our holiday, right? This is our holiday. Doesn't matter. She's going to do something for our kids on Valentine's
Day. It's hit or miss for me. Some years it's great, some years it's not. But you know, you just
who decides the hit or miss
if we do something?
Is it together. A big deal to your wife? Sees it? Your wife's not
it's
like
hit or miss. She works holidays every other. So if we can do something, it's great. If not,
Dean, you're a romantic, aren't you?
Oh well, here our Valentine's Day got hijacked 19 years ago when Josiah was born.
On Valentine's Day.
That's amazing.
Amy's birthday is 4 days later, so
all over, bro. All
you know,
over.
I just kind of blend it all into one.
We just had a youth pastor here in town that we're good friends with. His daughter was just born on his birthday, and I texted him. I said, "Hey, bro, listen, congratulations on your daughter. And
goodbye
from
to your birthday.
Yeah, from this day forward, your birthday is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It doesn't exist. It doesn't matter."
Poor guy.
Hey, well, listen, we're going to jump in just a minute to our topic this month, Leading Out in Front. Before we jump into that, we want to highlight a book, as we always do, because leaders are readers. Oh. And so, Banning's Book Club coming up.
Banning's Book Club. Banning's Book Club.
Well, hello. Are you here for book club?
Books that all will have inspired, encouraged, and equipped us.
All right, well, welcome once again to probably my favorite segment of our podcast, the Banning's Book Club part, the part where we sit down and talk to an author about a book, and really just encourage you as leaders, wherever you're leading, make sure that you're actually reading. It's a really critical part. So today, we get the honor to sit down with somebody who we call a friend, both personally and at Jesus Culture, somebody who has really impacted us, Dave Gibbons. Dave, thanks for sitting down with us and taking a few minutes.
Oh, man, I'm glad to share with you and the crew.
Dave, we're going to actually get a one-on-one interview with you and go a lot deeper. But before we jump into your book, Small Cloud Rising, give us a quick kind of overview or context of who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm a catalyst, and I focus on helping people find their destiny. And we have these unique assessment processes that specifically look at not only a person's strengths, but actually their pain and their weaknesses. And then I focus on the three domains of arts, business, and social profit leaders. And so we have a lot of fun doing that globally.
I love it. I love it. Well, I have, again, we try to bring leaders that have impacted us personally to the podcast, and you've done that for me. You wrote a book called Small Cloud Rising, How Creatives, Dreamers, Poets, and Misfits Are Awakening the Ancient Future Church. There's a lot packed into that. Sat at coffee shops and really talked about what's the content of this book and what's going on, but tell us about Small Cloud Rising. What is it, and why is it critical that the message that's in here get to these leaders?
Well, right now, I think the world, and even here in California where we are, we're finding that we're in the midst of one of the greatest global shifts economically, politically, and I believe even spiritually. And so oftentimes, it's not only churches, but companies are lagging in terms of how do they design like processes, development of our people, and then even how we worship, like how do we design that in a way that people can connect to it. And so Small Cloud Rising provides more of the design language and design principles. I call it like the operating system of how a church or an organization can impact their community. A lot of times the church, I don't know if you find this with like church leaders, but you know, we struggle trying to figure out, is this really the way to do it? Because a lot of resources are going into our Sunday programs.
Yep.
But often there's like minimal impact, it seems, beyond just like maybe transfer growth or we're focusing on the same people.
Is this coming out of, for you, you are a pastor, still pastored, working in different areas, but is this coming out of kind of your story and the journey that you've been on?
Yeah, it's my story, and then my story with like different leaders around the world, even here in America, from the mega churches to the mid-sized and small churches. And I found there was a frustration, and people were burning out and not feeling like it's really going deep. So, you know, as I was praying about it, I felt God gave me this vision while I was walking one day, and I just saw this small cloud rising. And then it reminded me of like Elijah, and how that small cloud brought a lot of rain. And because I was struggling with a lot of this, the bigger and better stuff, and yeah. Not that big is bad at all, but I was just wondering, you know, are we really making that great of an impact on the culture?
Mm. How has that, I absolutely love that you're having that conversation, that we're gathering people weekly, but are we actually impacting the culture? Are we actually seeing transformation? Are we actually seeing leaders raised up that are out there making a difference? What's the hurdles to this actually happening in the church? I think a lot of leaders are hungry for this. I think a lot of leaders are in the same spot where they're saying, hey, is there more than this? You know, are we investing our time and energy in the right place? Why am I not seeing transformation societally, you know, culturally in my city? What's the things that's stopping the church from moving into this realm?
Well, I think it's our mindset and it's our forms. It's our, some of our methodology, actually. And it's some of it is really practical to me. But what we found is that one of the barriers is the Greek Western mindset, actually, and that we're just very dualistic. And so we've created a culture of like Sunday versus like the rest of the week. And so a lot of times our people think the best day is just Sundays, and Mondays they just have to drudge through Monday through Saturday and hopefully survive for the weekend. So I think that's just a dualistic perspective. And then secondly, I think we have a culture of like an attractional model of church where we're trying to bring people into the box essentially. And what's happening in our society is people are less willing to go to the box. There's too many options. And, you know, I just talked to the Barna guys, been hanging out with them, and they said the average churchgoer is now about one time a month.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And so to me, it's like it's a lot of effort and work to try to bring people to the box, even, and it's even more difficult to bring people maybe who don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, is there like another way, another metaphor, a way to do it? The third thing I think is just the Western value of, again, big. And so we think we're not really making an impact unless we just have this, like, we're, you know, we use language like we're going to reach the city, we're going to reach the nation. But then I'm asking, well, is that really happening even when we have some of our bigger gatherings?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but, you know, so I kind of break it down with the, I look at Genesis 11 as like being the natural proclivity of humanity. It's just our natural inclination that we're just going to go big and build the biggest Babel we can. And I said that I think Satan's really delighted when we're, you know, we have all this, maybe this big program, but then we're really singing to ourselves sometimes and we're talking to ourselves and our impact's vertical, but it's not expansive.
The subject you're talking about, it's hard to just get in a quick interview, but I really do believe that a lot of the leaders that are listening to this podcast have the same stirring in their heart that you have, and that's why I wanted them to come and read this book, Small Cloud Rising.
Thank you.
They can get this book. Where can they order this book?
Just go to Amazon.com, and then it's Small Cloud Rising. Type it in, and there's the Kindle, and then there.
Perfect.
And the regular hard copy.
We'll have all of that links on the website as well. How can they connect with you? Social media, website, where do they go?
Yeah, Instagram, I'm Dave K. Gibbons, G-I-B-B-O-N-S. Twitter, just Dave Gibbons. And then Facebook, I have a page there, Dave Gibbons page.
Fantastic.
You can do that. Yep.
All right, Small Cloud Rising. Dave, thank you for taking the time to connect.
Yeah, man, right on.
This summer, August 4th through 6th, the Jesus Culture Conference is coming back to Los Angeles with A Sound of Freedom. With special guests, Lisa Bevere.
We can be, in our day, what the heroes of faith were in their day. But remember, at the time, they didn't know they were heroes.
John Gray.
It's easy to worship when you get a word. And it's easy to worship at the end of a word, but can you worship in the middle?
Jeremy Johnson.
There's no greater time than now, right here, right now.
Nate Edwardson, Banning Leibscher, and the Jesus Culture Band. Early bird registration opens now. JCLA always sells out, so purchase your tickets today at jesusculture.com/events.
This month, we're tackling the topic leading out in front. Just really wanted to challenge people to make sure you're leading. Now, that may seem a little bit weird on a leadership podcast because you're listening to this podcast, but it really is amazing to me how many people don't fully embrace the call to lead as a believer, as a Christian in society, in culture. This is what, you know, Gabe Lyons has even been talking about. You have to really understand that God's called you to be the head, not the tail, which means you're called to be out in front. Not behind, you're called to lead, not follow. And society and culture and people need believers who actually embrace this, both in the church, on campus, and in culture. But, you know, if we were to talk about this, and maybe this is a question I'd ask all of you guys, I would say that every believer really has a heart to make a difference. I think deep inside, they really do want to make a difference, but they're just held back. For whatever reason, they kind of shrink back and don't fully embrace it. Why is it you think that a lot of leaders don't actually lead in culture or society and have shrunk back?
We talked about this a couple episodes ago, but, you know, fear, even minimalizing the significant thing that we are doing and not feeling like that is going to make a dent in the world But, you know, the thing that I would add to this is I was just reading an article in Fast Company about a 2014 Nobel Peace Prize winner. And she, I can't pronounce her name, but she wanted to see girls get an education in Pakistan. And she was actually shot by the Taliban. And instantly, her influence, she was doing something in Pakistan with, you know, in her city. Instantly, she became a international voice for this cause. And, you know, if you think about it in sports and in education and politics, in every area, the people that we get inspired by that pop out of nowhere are those that are doing what they can with where they're at with an issue or an area, and they become a voice to, you know, much larger areas. And whether you ever become, you know, internationally renowned or not is really irrelevant. The point is, history is written by people that own and step out and lead. And I think it can't be emphasized enough that changing culture and bringing solutions starts with owning it, no matter how insurmountable the challenge or cause is.
And I think many times, you know, God calls us to uncharted territory, unfamiliar places to lead. Over the holidays, I watched the movie Concussion that is about Dr. Omalu, who discovered the disease called CTE about regarding NFL players and concussions, which really changed the game. But when he was leading, those studies and those experiments, the scientific research that went all that, there was so much resistance from the NFL because no one had went there before. And so, you know, you have to, a lot of times you have to overcome, you know, the fear, as Zach had said, but, you know, the places that no one's been before.
It's called a pioneer. And again, God calls us to pioneer. Again, it may not be as drastic or as, you know, but the reality is you are stepping into jungles that you've never been. And you've got to hack a path out. You've got to lay a foundation. You got to figure out how to get running water. You got to figure out, like, this is just pioneer mode. I think we've lost somewhat that we just want things comfortable and we want them safe and we want to know everything's taken care of. You read these stories, even they mentioned the Mayflower, you just read stories of people that are pioneers. And dude, these guys, like, nothing was guaranteed. Their life wasn't guaranteed, but they went out there, they figured it out, they pressed in, they made it happen, and that's that thing that kind of like, and there was resistance along the way, and it's uncharted territory, but there is something really thrilling about being out in front, even if it's uncharted territory.
I talk to a lot of people, too, who they seem to almost want the title first before they'll step up with their leadership, you know? They say like, oh, yeah, well, I want to do this, but I need to be this first. I need to be made manager. I need empowerment or authority. I need to be made in charge. And, you know, that's the thing about a leader is they're leading. It's not the title. It's not the title that gives you influence or authority. You know, like, you just lead. You lead where you're at. And a lot of people ask how I got here at Jesus Culture. Like, did I just come in as communications director? Oh, I came in as an intern. And then I was just, you know, doing whatever I needed to do. I volunteered for anything. But I took whatever area I was given and I led. That's all that I wanted to do. So if I'm stuffing folders, well, I'm going to lead the team that's stuffing the folders. If I'm, you know, an intern, I'm going to help lead the interns and cleaning up the bathrooms. Like, that's what I did. And I wasn't really concerned about the title. I didn't even think what title I wanted. I just wanted to lead something. And so I think, you know, we need to know that first. And, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom or you're working at Starbucks, you're a leader.
I love it, guys. This is like talking about this topic is why we're doing the podcast. We want to really engage and inspire people to go lead, even if it's scary to go after it. Recently had a chance to go out and speak at Oral Roberts University's chapel to a great group of students and was really inspired, not just by what God's doing there right now, but just be able to walk that campus and see the vision and the execution and the pioneer spirit it took to plant a university not too long ago. It's pretty cool, but I talked about a lot of this topic while I was there, so we're gonna jump in. Daniel, chapter 3, they stand up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know this story because of VeggieTales and the big chocolate bunny.
There's a big chocolate bunny and Larry the cucumber, which they're not even vegetables either, but they're fruit. Anyways, we know this story well because of the big chocolate bunny, but we know this story that you know, the king comes and he wants everybody to bow down to this image he set up, and Chaldeans and Babylonians and Israelites, they bow down except for these three men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stand up, and because they stood up, a nation turned to God. But that decision to stand up did not happen in that moment. It happened 29 years earlier. From when they made a decision to not eat the king's delicacies to when they stood up in a nation and saw that nation turn was 29 years. If you're going to lead a nation, if you're going to lead your generation, the decisions you make right now matter greatly. The decision to lead and get into the game of world history starts right now. The decisions you make right now, the seeds that you plant right now, will be the fruit that you eat later. It's why it's so critical that you are deliberate right now with your life. You have to take your life, you have to take your decisions, and you have to plant them in soil that's going to bear fruit in the years to come. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up because 29 years earlier, they had made a decision and they had planted a seed and it was about to bear fruit in a nation. This is where you're at right now. And I'm telling you right now, society is working overtime trying to convince you that all that matters is now. Pepsi says live for the now. Every song that's on the radio is about let's go to the club because all we have is tonight. Let's act like it's the last night of our life, which listen, can I just tell you right now, if it's the last night of your life, please don't be in a club. If you really believe it's the last night of your life, go home and kiss your mom. Hang out with your family. But anyway, sometimes I hear these songs. I'm like, trust me, if it's the last night of my life, I'm not the club shaking my booty. I'm finding some family members, making sure they know how much I love them. But I could read right now. Pitbull and Usher, Kesha, Jay-Z, they all want to somehow convince you all that matters is this moment. There is nothing else. There is no tomorrow. I'm here to tell you that this moment is not all that matters. There is a tomorrow. There is a 29 years later. And that 29 years later is determined by right now. Live like that. Live understanding that the decision I make right now, the seed I plant right now, is going to be the thing that allows me to stand in a nation in 29 years to see my generation awakened. It's the seed I plant right now. Where you plant your life and what soil you plant your life in matters. My wife's granny, she's 93 years old. She lives in Vacaville, California, which is just outside, in between Sacramento and San Francisco, is a town called Vacaville. It's a farming community for years. It's kind of turned more into a suburb. But my granny was born on a farm there 93 years ago. Just recently, she moved back and is living there again. And I went for the first time to go visit this little 20-acre farm they still have right in the heart of Vacaville. I remember going there, and I grew up in the suburbs. You know, I grew up in just, you know, little normal track home neighborhood. I don't know anything about fruit trees. I don't know anything about farming. I don't know anything about any of that stuff. But when I went there and I went to see Granny, there was this huge orange tree outside her house. And I was like, can I have an orange? Can I just like have an orange? She's like, yeah, have as many as you want. I'm like, that's amazing. So I went and I got an orange and I opened it up and I took a bite, and I'm not exaggerating. It was the best orange I've ever had. It was unbelievable. It was like sweet, juicy, great texture, large. It was amazing. And I just turned to Granny. I'm like, Granny, this is the best orange I've ever had in my life. And I asked her, I'm like, why is this orange so good? You know what her answer was? She began to explain to me the soil
that's in Vacaville. She began to explain to me, I don't even remember all of it, the depth and the looseness of it and the moisture and the makeup of it. When I asked why that orange was so good, her answer was soil. Every time we go to Granny's house now, I'm not even thinking about Granny. We're on our way. I'm like, Granny is secondary right now. Every time I go to that farm, I literally am in the car. It's an hour drive. I'm thinking, I'm going to get an orange. I can't wait to get an orange. I'm going to get an orange. That orange is connected to soil. The reason why that orange is so great is because the soil that tree's planted in. There are certain soils in your life that you got to plant yourself. If the decisions you make right now that affect 29 years down the road, those decisions are seeds that you plant in soil. The soils that you plant in matter. Foundation matters.
We are very pleased to inform you that your name has been added to the Dean's List for this term. You are among a very select group of students, and as a result, the Dean of Leadership Development has some very valuable information he would like to share with you. We applaud you and extend our congratulations to your family. Keep up the good work. This is the Dean's List.
Well, welcome back to the first segment of the Dean's List of 2016. I'm Dean DeGuara, the Director of Leadership Development here at Jesus Culture. And as always, we want to expose you to leaders that are encouraging us here at Jesus Culture. And today I have the privilege of introducing to the JCLP listeners, Chris Cruz. How's it going, Chris?
Hey, it's going great. It's going great. Honored to be here.
Hey, thanks for taking some time to be with us. And why don't you just take a moment, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're at and what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm currently living in Redding, California. I serve on the leadership team for Bethel's School of Supernatural Ministry at Bethel Church in their second year program. This is a school of 2,000 students in our first, second, and third year program from all over the world. And I serve on the leadership team for the second year program. And then also alongside that, I serve with Jeremy Riddle on the core leadership team for our young adult ministry tribe. It's the young adult ministry of Bethel. And so I do that. My wife and I live here. My wife and I are actually co-pastors in the school. We work together, pastoring a group of students, and we are anticipating our first child should be here.
Oh, congratulations.
Within the next few weeks. Like we've got our bags packed ready. If any moment happens and that baby decides to come in, we're ready to go. So that's currently what's going on in our world, but we're enjoying life. We're having a good time at the school and kind of just being nesting parents, cleaning the house and making everything feel as ready as I possibly can.
Hey, you've written some posts for the Jesus Culture website, mm-hmm. but you yourself, as a leader, you have a blog. You also produce a podcast. Mm-hmm. Why should a leader maybe be looking at someone who's maybe thinking, man, I want to do a blog or I want to do a podcast? You know, why did you do it, first of all, and then why should leaders even think about building a platform?
Yeah, it started for me actually in 2010. The Lord actually spoke to me. He said, I need you to ride the media wave of leadership.
Wow.
And so in 2010, I just decided to, in the shadows, look at what was going on. What was actually happening with social media? What was actually happening with online kind of content? What were people creating? What was the church's voice in this world? Because the internet, I was realizing, has made the world Nazareth, where it's this small community now that you could actually influence the world from this small little place. And so there's this understanding that one of our chief ways of being influenced is actually the internet. It's whether it's through social media platforms or whether it's through blogging or YouTube, any of those kinds of things, they are now avenues for people to be shaped, molded, and influenced. And so that has created a space for people to allow themselves to be told how to think, what to think. And so when I started realizing this over and over again, I'm going, all right, my generation is living here, not in a negative critique.
Yeah.
Not in a critique of going, oh, you're on the internet too much. No, it's this is the reality. I'm like, you, this is where we are and this is where we live. And there's so much of us that happens here, but who is a voice for you here? Who is actually telling you to live counterculturally here? Who is actually challenging you to pursue the presence of God here? Who is kind of going beyond just talking on the internet or just creating content, but actually challenging you and provoking you? And that's where I started to realize, this is where I want to start to have my voice here. This is where I want to start to lead my generation, is believing, all right, you're being influenced here, and I want to make sure what you're being influenced with has a voice for this kind of stuff, for heaven on earth, with the reality of the Holy Spirit and these kinds of things. So I see the internet and social media as now this is a way that the world is going to be influenced. And it's a question of not if this is going to be it, it's a question of how are people going to be influenced now.
That's so good. Hey, real quick, this is mm-hmm. a little bit spontaneous, but maybe yeah. your top three podcasts that you listen to.
There's a podcast that I love, the TED Radio Hour.
Yes.
I would say another podcast that's been really beneficial to me is one called Startup Camp by a friend yeah. of mine named Dale Partridge. He's actually helped me a ton with blogging and podcasting. He has one for business, for leaders, and kind of that kind of thing. So the Startup Camp podcast is one I've listened to often. Entree Leadership with Dave Ramsey.
Oh, yes. One of my favorites.
Oh, fantastic podcast.
Hey, tell our listeners, how can they find you?
Yeah. So you can go to my blog at chrisjosephcruz.com. I write there. And then if you go to that website as well, as you can find my podcast, which is called Equip the Saints. And you can listen to that on iTunes as well, and you can subscribe there. But those are the two places you can get in touch with me, and then also on all the social media platforms.
Well, Chris, once again, we thank you for your time. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an honor. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, that is the end of this episode of the JCLP, number 3. One more next week, and then we're on to another topic. We're so thankful that you are part of this online podcast community, and we love hearing your stories of how God's using you, and even feedback on hopefully how this podcast is encouraging you as a leader. So until next time, we'll be back. As always, hit us up on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and continue to lead. And I'll just end with this. I think modern day pioneering is a little lost, obviously, as you're not starting new uncharted territories, but this is still very much a part of leadership pioneering. And so I think as we look at those things where we need to forge ahead and lead in unknown areas, there is always a need, and we need as leaders to engage in that and ask the Lord to lead us. So until next time, we'll see you on the JCLP, and have an amazing, amazing week.